Hello, friends. This is your friend, Kent C. Dodds, and I'm joined by my friend, Eve Porcello. Say hi, Eve.
Hey, Kent. How's it going?
It's going great. It's a beautiful morning. I just got home from exercising. I go on a walk every day with my wife, and it's awesome.
Nice.
I didn't always exercise, but life's good now. So
that's great.
Yeah. Eve, you're a wonderful person, really in the like GraphQL community. I think the first time I met you was last year at React Rally, when you gave your talk there. That was a remarkable talk, by the way. I think I told you, but like the demo that you gave was so good. People need to go watch that talk. It was just well executed and just a really wonderful talk. So, great. So Eve, I know you a little bit, but I'd love for our audience to get to know you a little. So could you just introduce yourself a little bit to people listening?
Yeah, absolutely. My name's Eve Porcello. Thanks for having me. And I am the co-owner of Moon Highway. We're a JavaScript training company based in Northern California. I work with my husband, Alex Banks, and we create a lot of learning materials for people who are learning GraphQL and JavaScript and Node and React as well. So we go teach classes at companies, and then we create video courses for Egghead and LinkedIn Learning and write books and all those types of things. So we're really focused on making learning fun for people.
Well, you at least did a really great job of that at React Rally for sure.
Thank you.
So that's a wonderful skill, and it's definitely one that takes a lot of work to accomplish the ability to make learning fun, especially in some scenarios where you're going in to do enterprise training or something, and those people aren't there because they want to, but because their boss told them to.
Yep.
So what are some of your strategies for making learning fun?
I think we just try to create an environment where all questions are welcomed, and we really want to hear from people as they're going through the materials, like what's working for them, and just creating a safe environment to ask questions. A lot of times when folks are learning something new, they feel like, oh, I have to learn this really fast, and my manager's counting on me to learn this, and everything's super stressful. And so we like to come in and be kind of like a day or two of getting away from your desk, getting away from all the patterns that are kind of built in, and just having some fun, like building something that works, making people feel like they can do it, and then feeling like they can take what they've learned to their job and like feel more confident and feel more prepared for building fun stuff and taking some of that stress away.
Yeah, absolutely. We like for lots of these newer technologies like GraphQL or React Hooks or like all these things, it actually takes it's more than just learning. It's actually unlearning first and then learning new things.
Yeah, totally.
That can be a challenge. And it's, especially if it's hard for people to justify the unlearning. It's like, well, why would I, things are working nice as I have it today. Like, I don't mind spinning up a new endpoint for every new piece of data that I need.
Yeah, totally.
I have to be convinced.
Absolutely. Making the case for that is sometimes tricky, but we try to show all of the good things that you could potentially get from that technology. And yeah, pulling people away from their desks for a couple of days is usually really useful. So,
Cool. So Eve, in preparing for this, you gave me a movie quote that I absolutely want our audience to hear because I love it. You called it cheesy. And maybe it is a little bit, but I think it's great. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that movie quote? And I'm actually curious where that came from.
Sure. So I live in Tahoe City, California, so a ski town. My whole like cultural life is very informed by skiing right now. So there's a guy, Warren Miller, who has made a ton of ski movies over the past, I think, 50 years. He has this quote, though, about skiing that says, if you don't do it this year, you'll be 1 year older when you do. So he's referring to, like, if you don't jump off that cliff or straight line that chute on skis, you're going to just come back and do it next year. You're going to regret not doing that. But I think that really applies to life. I think that there's a lot of things that I hesitate to do, but I'm going to have to go do it at some point. So just kind of getting that fear out of the middle between when you want to do something and when you accomplish that thing is something that I'm constantly working on and failing at, to be honest. But I try.
Yeah. Well, so like, that quote really speaks to me. You'll be a whole another year older, and especially in regard to skiing, it's like, well, I mean, you're not getting any younger, and it'll probably be harder, you know, as you age. But in like when applying that to general life, and not just tech, but like anything that you want to do, you know, you'll be another year older, but there'll also be like other things that are like vying for your time, and you don't know like what life is going to be like next year. Maybe you won't, maybe something terrible will happen. You won't be in a financial position to do this new, like try this new thing that you want to try, or whatever the case may be. So like finding the confidence to go and do something new and try something, that you might be fearful or uncertain about is, it's hard. So how do you go about, acquiring that confidence, to just take the leap?
Well, I think I was thinking about this a lot a couple weeks ago. I was on a backpacking trip and it was something I really wanted to do. It was mostly my idea to actually go on the trip. But as the day came closer, I was like really busy with work. And then my friends said they were all going to show up 2 hours late because people were getting off of planes and getting late. And it was really cold out that weekend and it was starting to get dark and all those things that make you feel fearful of what's to come. So I realized though that even though it was cold, even though it was getting dark and I was worried about hiking too far, too fast, none of those things really mattered because I had signed up for doing the hike anyway. None of my friends, my husband, they weren't going to let me get away with leaving. So there was nothing I could do. So I kind of was thinking about how like all of that worry, all of that stress, all of that thinking about the future and not being in the present moment really took me out of the joy of being with my friends and doing something that was fun. So I think to get over that and to get over fear with work-related, tech-related things, it's just kind of like breaking things down into smaller chunks. So I shouldn't worry about 2 days from now when we're going to be hiking somewhere else and I'm worried about making it to this place on time. I should be worried about maybe hiking to that tree right there. I can see it. I can hike 100 steps and I'll be there. And then I'll hike the next 100 and the next 100. So breaking anything down into smaller goals kind of eases the fear and makes you feel like, yeah, I did it. I hiked to that tree. I hiked that 100 steps and it doesn't feel as big of a commitment or as big of a deal.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And that's especially useful when you're in a situation where you can't really get out of it.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, and that applies to hiking or it could apply to you're at this job and your boss is like, hey, listen, I know that you really, really hate dealing with our CI, but we just need somebody to do that. And just this week, cause this person's out or whatever. And so like you can complain about it and be like all gripey and stuff. And that's one way to approach that. Or, you can recognize that complaining is just wasted energy. And instead just make the most of it, and take that opportunity or see that opportunity for what it is. So I like that idea a lot. So when we're talking about, new things that we're volunteering for, that we're deciding, hey, you know what, I really want to learn a lower level programming language. I think learning Rust would be interesting. Very different from what I've done in the past, but like interesting. You mentioned breaking things down as a good way to accomplish the goal. How would you break down, learning a completely different programming language like Rust?
Yeah, I would just think that not worrying about being a Rust expert on day one is a great place to start. So a lot of times when, and Rust is a great example because that's something that I haven't approached for this reason. It's like, it seems too daunting. I don't know when I'll find time for that, but I think a good place to start, and I'll write this in my notes for myself to actually do, is to think about just like taking 30 minutes to take a tutorial or read some documentation. And even though I might not be building Rust applications today, that will make me a little bit farther down the path of learning. And I think that no block of time is too small for that. So just kind of thinking about what can I do today to make me closer to that goal of knowing more about Rust versus I have to build something production ready with Rust today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe if that is mandated for you, try to have as positive an attitude as possible.
Yeah, but, exactly. totally yeah, true.
But, what I take away from that is when we're making these goals and breaking them down, you need to be as realistic as possible and just taking the opportunity to realize that, hey, I'm going to be bad at this. I'm not going to be an expert at this, and that's okay. And nobody expects me to be. And then also diving in head first and saying, okay, I'm going to spend the next 2 weeks learning Rust. And by the end of that 2 weeks, I'm going to be a Rust expert. Maybe if you like to sprint that way, that'll work out okay. But I like the idea of saying, hey, I'm just going to take 30 minutes. This is going to be kind of I'm going to continue on with my life. I'll have other things that I enjoy, and I'm going to do this thing that might be a little bit painful just for this short time so that there's some spaced repetition there. There's some, you get to, like, it's hard to learn these new things and try these new things. And so having a little bit of time between could be really helpful. That's kind of what I took away from that.
Yeah. And I like what you said about not worrying about being an expert, just being a super beginner at stuff, you know? So I'm a beginner at Rust, so I shouldn't expect anything more. And just as long as I'm becoming a better beginner at something, I think that is, I don't know, a good way to approach learning anything.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are the kinds of goals that you think will really help people to improve themselves, whether that be technically or professionally or personally? What are some good goals that have helped you, I guess?
Yeah, I think so. My coworker / husband Alex and I wrote a couple books together, and then we were talking to Joel Hooks and Taylor Bell from Egghead, and they were like, have you ever considered blogging? And we were like, oh, that seems very out of order, but we felt like, oh, I don't know if we can write blogs, it seems too difficult for us to do. And so they recommended this idea of just kind of maintaining a repository of blog content where we have like all of these haphazard sort of duct taped together ideas that will someday become blogs, and they have become blogs in many cases. But I think that's been a really great way of kind of taking things that we've learned or like insights that we've had and really formalizing them and sharing them. So I know a lot of folks referenced Swick, Sean Wang's Learn in Public idea, but that has been helpful to us because we felt like, oh, no one really cares about an article from us or something like that. But it's something that has helped us to crystallize our thinking on certain topics and helps us to incorporate those into our workshops.
Yeah, that I love that. First off, I just wanted to say that my blog is basically a bunch of random ideas duct taped together. I don't really mind just like throwing something together and hitting publish. I've gotten too used to doing that. Yeah. But you can edit it later, right?
Yeah.
The thing I took away from what you said though is that you take something that you're already good at, which is writing content, writing books. Like, goodness, I'm not quite there yet on writing books, but taking something you're already good at and expanding it in a different direction. And so here you were already skilled at long form content, and you had the idea that, oh, maybe we could try some more shorter form content. It's a really similar idea, just in a different format. And so maybe like somebody who's already doing a really good job at, I don't know, making some React components or whatever that are functionally, maybe they can start branching out a little bit into like design related components, like visual components or whatever, just expanding slowly into areas that are related but still unknown for you can be a good way to like a good goal to start growing and stretching yourself a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Because all the topics are fairly related, but maybe teaching a workshop is a good next step or step before speaking or something like that. But a lot of folks don't do both. So, and we were a good example of people who taught a lot of workshops, but never really spoke at conferences. And so it's all like cross-training the same type of skills, but branching out a little further, and then your reach is a little further and you can talk to more people and hopefully teach more people. So all of that is really useful.
And lots of those things you can branch from programming. If like, I know a lot of people say, you know, programming is my life. I eat, breathe and drink and sleep programming. But like, it'd probably be a reasonable, good idea to branch outside of that a little bit. And maybe you could take your skills at programming and move them into board games or like, and have, you know, people over to play games or whatever. Or, you know, find different areas of, you know, start doing music. I know lots of programmers are musical. There's got to be something there. But like finding different areas to just expand your life a little bit and take that goal setting pattern to whatever new thing that you want to try.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and all of that is being a beginner when you do some of that stuff. And that's really fun to try in other areas where you feel like, oh, I don't know about this, but it is a good stretch for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to talk a little bit more about like developing the confidence to do and try these new things. Do you have any other strategies or ideas for how people can be confident, like especially when the new thing that they want to try is a very public facing thing and they're worried about getting ridiculed in public or just doing a bad job in front of people? Like, let's say their goal is to start speaking, they're speaking in front of people, or their goal is to start baking, they're baking things for people, or maybe their goal is to start, I don't know, rollerblading, and they're like, they go to a skate park or whatever, and now there's other people there. So like, that concern, I think, is a very natural one to be like, well, what if I do a bad job and everybody sees me do a bad job? How would you suggest people could get over that?
I think with starting small, as well for this, I think, for speaking, I know this is talked about a lot, but maybe start speaking at a local meetup, or if that's too daunting, which local meetups can be very overwhelming, maybe do that with your spouse or your friend or somebody who has your trust, who is more willing to give you feedback about perfecting your talk. That's something that I've really benefited from, is just being able to lean on my coworker on that and give talks in front of him. And he'll tell me like, this part's good, why don't we tighten this section up? And Alex has been super helpful in kind of reform, like just formatting and vetting ideas and those types of things. So practice is really, really key to confidence, I think. And skipping that step can lead to feeling overwhelmed when you're giving a talk. I've been there, like I'm not quite ready. I haven't quite gotten these ideas out there before. Not that every talk has to be perfectly polished, but having the time to rehearse is really critical. My background is in theater and like comedy and stuff. So that
really,
yeah, that has been sort of a good thing to lean back on. Speaking of like incorporating your hobbies and skills into making yourself more well-rounded, I think that has saved me a lot in giving talks. It's just like, I know how to, I don't necessarily know what a tech talk is a few years ago, but I do know how to rehearse something, and I do know how to like learn all the details and think about the audience and put it in front of people early who will tell me what is bad and what is good about what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, fail fast.
Yeah. Fail fast, yeah.
Yeah, well, so what I got out of that, I think, is really key. And that is, like, I think it's a good thing to start small. And you could start, like, if it's baking, for example, then you could start baking something for yourself. And, you know, you know whether it's good or not. And that's fine. And if that's all you want to do, just, like, bake for yourself, then that's fine. But if your goal is really to become a really skilled baker that people just really enjoy eating the things that you bake, then at some point you have to make the leap from baking for yourself to baking for a real person. And that's what I pulled away from what you were talking about, is, you know, speaking in front of your husband or a friend or some confidant, getting feedback from them, from a separate person other than yourself. And that can be a little bit nerve-wracking, but taking it smaller, like smaller steps, you know, if it's speaking, then maybe you start speaking in front of stuffed animals.
Yeah.
Maybe you have to buy a stuffed animal and you don't still have your old ones or whatever, but speaking in front of, you know, at some point you're going to be speaking in front of people, and each step is going to potentially be a little more uncomfortable than the last. But it's the important part is that, you have turned your goal into multiple steps so that it's not one giant leap of like this huge amount of discomfort and things, but like smaller steps of minor discomfort that you eventually learn to kind of cope with that discomfort. Maybe that discomfort never goes away, but you've got the experience to cope with that a little better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the taking those small steps gives you a process for doing it all over again, because as soon as you're done, you'll feel like, I'm a little more confident this time. I learned a lot from speaking at this one place, so I'm going to go through that process again. And going through all of those steps, not skipping the rehearsal steps and not skipping the like just time you need to put into that stuff is really useful, but you have a process, you have a sort of playbook for how you're going to approach that stuff in the future.
Yeah, that's great. So, so why would somebody, like, let's say that there are people listening who are just like, I don't know, I'm pretty happy with life as it is. And I don't feel like, I know that there are areas I could improve, but I don't really see why I should subject myself to potential ridicule or whatever by trying something new. Like, what benefits are there to stretching yourself?
Yeah, good question. If you are really happy, I don't want to mess anyone's life up at all. But I do think that sometimes you, when stretching yourself into other areas, will get some benefits that you don't really expect. So, going and speaking at conferences, I thought would be a good way to kind of promote my business and get better at public speaking. But it really has led to a lot of friendships. It's led to a lot of like people who I love catching up with when I'm in their city, and I can ask them questions about things and they can ask me questions about things. And it's really built my network of just friendly people that I can make my life a little better with. And then the same goes for like skiing and outdoor stuff. Before I moved to Tahoe 7 years ago, I didn't really do anything outside. And I thought, that's not really for me. And I had a really good definition of who I was and what types of things I was going to do. I was not a person who would go skiing. It was too scary. So now I think back on that and it sort of makes me sad about like what I could have missed out on during that time, because it's been a lot of great vacations and a lot of great conversations and being outside in nature that I wouldn't have had a chance to see if I had just kind of accepted that limited view of who I was. So I was definitely a beginner at skiing for a long time, but it's still something that even during those times of struggle and fear, and I guess that is always going on because you're always trying to push a little farther. With that, it becomes, I don't know, just a lot of a lot of good experiences that I wouldn't have had I been so limited.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of those things that you don't know what you don't know, right? Yeah. Where like you didn't know the friends that you would make by speaking at conferences or whatever it is. So when we're trying new things, sometimes things don't work out quite like very well. And it can be really easy to just give up and say, oh, I'm not meant for this. Especially I see this a lot when people are brand new to coding, and a lot of people just kind of somehow get in their heads that there's a coding gene and like, maybe I'm just not meant for this coding thing. And so what would you say to those people who feel like the goal that they've set for themselves is like totally unreachable? Like, and those kinds of goals do exist, right? Like I could make a goal to play in the NBA, but that's like not going to happen, right? So maybe there's something to be said for making more realistic goals. But when you have a realistic goal and you start questioning your capabilities there, what do you think people could do to make themselves feel like they can accomplish this and to persevere, or maybe to say, you know what, this isn't my thing, and they can, you know, cut their losses and move on to something else?
Yeah, I think that when approaching anything new like that, when looking at a big lofty goal, there are a lot of moments along the way where there's failure throughout that period of time. I'm speaking for myself, I guess, only, but I have definitely run into like just countless thousands, hundreds of thousands of times where I felt like I can't do this thing. I should quit. I'm not cut out for whatever I'm trying to do. And I think just maybe taking a step away for a day or so, or a couple hours, or even 30 minutes and going for a walk is just a really nice way to sort of reset and think, okay, this didn't go well. Let's still try. We're still going to push things a little bit farther down the road. And maybe I will hit that final goal, but maybe my goal will change a little bit. And maybe a door closes and I get into something else. There's a lot of examples of, I applied for a full-time job a while back, and I didn't get the job, and it was really hard because I'd gone through a lot of steps of the interview process, and I felt like this is the job. This is going to be what I do for the next decade or whatever, the start to my career in this new way. But had that opportunity worked out for me, even though I'd put a lot of work into it, a lot of prep for the interview and a lot of time invested in that, I thought, like, that's the end of the line for me. I'm not going to, this is not the career for me. But I think about my job now, and I love my job now, and all the experiences that I've had through my job wouldn't have happened had that opportunity happened. So tons of examples of that in my own life, of just doors slamming and then getting rerouted into something that's actually a better fit for me. So
yeah, that's wonderful. That actually made me think of Meet the Robinsons, where they're like, you failed, congratulations.
Yeah, totally. It's not a failure necessarily, because it's just pointing you in the direction of something better for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually had a similar experience where I was rejected for a job, and it was always sad, but things work out. So yeah, I think one thing that you also said made me think of, like, when you're in that moment of, boy, I'm not doing well at this, like, I'm probably not, this is just not my thing. Maybe like stop and turn around on the mountain that you're hiking and look down and like, whoa, actually, I've made a crazy amount of progress, like a ton of progress. And so, yeah, appreciating how far you've come, I think can help with that too. That's wonderful. So Eve, we're coming down at the end of our time here together, and we decided on giving some people a little bit of homework for improving themselves in this area. So what we want you to do is to think of one goal that you have and take 10 minutes to break it down into smaller chunks. And so whatever that goal is, tech related or not, just think, I want to speak at a conference, or I want to you know, fly to Mars. Okay, maybe not that one, but I mean, I don't know. If that's what you want to do.
That sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah. But take that goal and break it down into smaller chunks, small enough that you can consider that a step rather than a leap. and see where that takes you. Then take that first step. I guess that should be part of the challenge too. Take the first one. Cool. So Eve, is there anything else that you'd like to share with people listening before we wrap up?
I don't think so. I'm definitely going to do that homework too, though, because there's always a million things that I feel like are too big and I need to break down. So I'll definitely do that.
Great. Good, good. Eve, what's the best place for people to connect with you online?
You can find me at Eve Porcello on all the social media things because my name's a little weird. And you can find out more about our classes at moonhighway.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Eve. It's been a pleasure to chat with you. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And for people listening, I hope you have a good morning, afternoon, evening, or night, whenever it is that you're listening to this. And yeah, with that, we'll just say goodbye. See ya, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.